The whole problem with the world is that fools and fanatics are always so certain of themselves, and wiser people
empowerment
so full of doubt.
And education.
Bertrand
Two
Russell.
Powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Well, here we go, revolutionaries. Today, we have a fantastic episode here for you. I have with me wellness expert, Dr. Jim Bob Haggerton. Dr. Jim Bob is a chiropractor living and working out of the Lifetime Wellness Family Center in Hearst, Texas. He works in partnership with his wife, Cindy, where they both work to help families achieve wellness. Dr. Jim Bob, welcome to the show. We're so glad to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Great. Well, please fill in any gaps I might have left out of the intro and then explain what you'll be sharing with us today.
I don't think there's any gaps. You pretty much covered it. We're just passionate about function. I'm passionate about teaching families how the body's created and that they're created for optimal health. 100 days out of 100. And, you know, that's something I think people are really missing. You know, today we're going to talk about essential oil safety is the main thing we really want to go over and talk to people about the fact that essential oils are safe for adults and for kids. And that's what we're really going to cover.
Great. Now, I've heard you talk about this topic before, and it's something I know you're really passionate about. You know, how did you become so passionate about this topic? You know, I feel like there's a good story here.
So Cindy and I have been involved with Young Living Essential Oils for about the past 8 years. But as far as recommending them across the board and really using them for protocols in the office and traveling and teaching on them, we've been involved in that realm of it for about the past 3.5 to 4 years. And so the topic of essential oil safety, the reason that that had come to a head and become a big passion of mine and something I'd started teaching on was back in the spring of this year of 2015, there were 2 or 3 blogs that came out that were actually saying that essential oils weren't safe. And one of the titles of one of the main blogs that really went viral said essential oils can cause seizures in kids. And that was the blatant title. And so, you know, I'm super passionate about kids. I love adults, but I really love kids. So my thing is, I'm like, you know, as an adult, if you want to do dumb stuff for yourself or whatever, then you're an adult and you can make your own decisions. But when people start really messing with kids, then I really get lit up. So I was like, well, that's ridiculous. And I got mad about it, really. And I came home and Cindy was kind of laughing about this at this point, because even though I've taught for years and I've done public speaking for years and years, she and I working together, I had not really at this point back in February, whenever this was, really started engaging into our business together and teaching on essential oils per se. So I came home and wrote a whole conference call class on essential oil safety, refuting all of these blogs. And we baited everybody into the call saying it was going to be about a 30, 45 minute call when I had already pretty much knew I was going to go for at least 2 to 2.5 hours because I had so much stuff because I was so lit up. So we got them all in, hooked them with the topic. I talked for 2 hours and that's really where it started. I mean, and I did this call that kind of went all over the place and here we are. Now I'm talking to you about it. So there you go.
Yeah, it was actually exactly that call that made me realize I have to get him on the show because this guy knows what he's talking about. He's not messing around. Yeah. And I really appreciated, you know, the way that you really broke down the studies that those bloggers had referenced and also how you left it kind of open, like, you know, this is a decision that you need to make and something that you as the user should be really looking into and not,
exactly,
you know, not just taking that blogger's word for it, not just taking your word for it even too. So
right.
Yeah, I really like how you present it. So I'll just go ahead and dive in and ask you, you know, some of the most frequently asked questions I get when sharing essential oils. So the main one I hear a lot is, you know, essential oils, they're so potent, they're so concentrated. Doesn't that make them unsafe for the body?
No, it doesn't make them unsafe at all. Now, does it make it to where you need to be more cautious about adding them in, especially if you have not done it? Yes. And here's the context that I normally tell patients and when I'm traveling and teaching. If a patient comes to me and they have never done any kind of detox, they've never really used supplements, they're generally unhealthy anyways, and they're, you know, they're coming to me to try to get on this path, then them starting on essential oils and even talking just adults to start with, them starting on essential oils are potent and do create really quick change positive change, correct change all the time because of the way that the frequencies of those oils work. So yeah, they get a lot of change really fast. So I teach them right off the bat to go slow, to dilute the oils a lot more at the beginning than they would really have to later on using a carrier oil, which is a fatty oil, just to make the, you know, essential oil less potent on the skin, but the frequencies are still effective. And so, you know, they're completely safe. It's just that what I find, the only reason that people will ever have any kind of reactions, whether it's irritation to the skin or, you know, any detox reactions at all, is because they haven't used them ever, or at least haven't used therapeutic grade, or they're in a really bad health spot. And then they just use a ton of them and they go overboard and they're using, you know, neat straight oils on their skin and never, you know, and they just go out of bounds on it. So they are completely 100% safe. It's just that the mode of using them, people aren't 100% safe. So I think that's more the problem overall. So
yeah, good points. Now, can you speak to maybe the function of the liver in all of this? Because I have that question come up too of, you know, how can the liver process these oils? And I think from the outside, when you think of like, oh yeah, really potent stuff, like what's that going to do to my liver? And then people kind of get scared and they don't even want to look into it anymore.
Sure, absolutely. Well, it's a different process. So the liver processes nutrients that you take into your body, but its main issue that it has in converting certain things you put in your body is from toxic standpoint. So like, for example, if you're using, you know, cholesterol medication or aspirin, or you're eating a lot of sugar or whatever, you're doing something to the body that it's not designed to handle, the liver has a hard time processing that, and it can create damage and your liver enzymes will go up, which is just kind of a, you know, a flag or a check engine light that the liver is being overloaded, because it has a hard time converting toxins and it will stack them inside the liver and you could create stress and overload. Essential oils don't work that way, at least when you're talking about a therapeutic grade oil from Young Living, because when you're looking at the frequency of the oil and the way that it works, you know, if you're, let's talk about a topical application, right? So let's say someone uses a topical oil like lavender as a topical oil and they rub it on their skin. Well, the oils are fat soluble. So what happens is, it doesn't go through the exact same pathway as everything else that you put in your body. Typically on a toxic standpoint, let's talk about like the example we used a second ago on either the medication or a dietary toxin. Well, it's going to go through the stomach. It has to get processed through the liver because it's a part of that pathway before it actually gets into the intestines and into the bowels to get flushed out of your system. So it's just like on that road that it has to go through. Well, from an essential oil standpoint, if you're using like our example of lavender, that essential oil, being fat soluble, soaks through the skin, gets into the bloodstream because it can cross that blood-brain barrier and it can get into the vessels quickly. And then the body utilizes the frequency and takes it where it needs to go. The liver is aware of it and the liver gets to actually active. It's active in the process, but it doesn't have to filter it. Does that make sense? It's a totally different process. Mm-hmm. It's not having to filter out the frequency of the oil, because the oil frequencies are a natural substance you're putting in. And it's helping the body. So it's not a stressor on the liver, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
It's like you're not gonna eat so many strawberries that all of a sudden your liver stops working.
Right.
You know, that doesn't happen. Or you're not gonna eat so much lettuce that, oh my gosh, my liver enzymes are high because of all that spinach and lettuce I ate. What is wrong? That doesn't happen. And essential oils are in that same boat.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Now, how about the oils that you take internally? I mean, especially I hear a lot of controversy over the citrus oils like lemon and orange, taking them, you know, drinking them in water, for example, and how that might have an effect on, you know, the esophagus or the stomach lining. What are your insights on there?
The only times I've seen anyone have any problems with it were people who already had issues to begin with that the oils activated and started working on. Then they had a symptom from it. So for example, let's say that they were taking lemon essential oil and putting it into their water, or even let's say peppermint, but let's just use it because peppermint's so strong. So, you know, everyone who is in using essential oils has heard of the conversion of one drop of peppermint oil is equivalent to roughly 26 bags of peppermint tea. Mm-hmm. So peppermint's potent. Well, and it's a hotter oil. So let's say that, Samantha, you come into the office and you are in your healing journey, and you have a really overloaded toxic liver, and you add in peppermint or a citrus oil like lemon or citrus fresh. Well, all of those oils will create a detox reaction inside the body because their whole function is in increasing normal and decreasing abnormal, decreasing bad. That's just like anything else. Like if you, you know, you eat a ton of spinach. Again, using that as example, you're increasing oxygen, increasing normal to your body, but you're also decreasing bad, and your system has to figure out to do what to do with all of those toxins. So since the majority of toxins will get stored in the liver when it's processing through dietary wise, then if you take a citrus oil and you add it in orally, it's not going to damage the liver, because again, it's, you know, you're not going to damage the liver with strawberries or spinach. But the difference in an essential oil or a citrus oil is they will start to get out all of the bad that's in the liver and will start to activate function, and it can stress the liver out if it's already toxic and this person is already having a lot of issues. And so, you know, the liver enzymes going up, like on a lab test, doesn't necessarily mean that there's damage going on. It means that the liver is working, you know, and it's having to do something. So, you know, my response to that always is, well, you're not causing damage to the liver, but is it going to have to work overtime to detoxify? Yeah, maybe, you know, in a certain group of people. Are, you know, citrus oils going to be more irritating to some people's esophagus or some people's stomach lining if they already have irritation on the lining, they're deficient in essential fatty acids, they're already eating too much sugar, they're in high stress environments, which will create ulcer formation and stuff like that? Yeah, it totally can. Yeah, for sure. But the essential oil isn't going to create that damage. But could it be irritating to someone who already has health challenges? Yes, for sure. So again, that person, you know, if that patient comes into me and they say to me, oh, I have, you know, esophageal reflux, I have this, this, this. And then they're like, I want to take these oils and those things are going on in their system. Then I say, okay, well, if you're taking these oils and you have those things, then here's, you need to really dilute them. And sometimes I don't recommend them to start with that. I recommend them to start with a oil for, you know, either diffusing or for topical application.
Everyone's different. Everyone has their body, and they're starting from different places, and we can't just put this blanket statement over,
exactly,
you know, this is good, this is bad for everyone, because that's not how the world works.
Well, it's definitely not how, it's how part of the world works, but it's not how science and physiology works. And one of the things, I know you've heard me say this before, but one of my things, and I talked about it in that, you know, that safety call, was science is not math. Like, the thing that people get confused on is, you know, science and math are two totally different things. So mathematics, like 1 + 1 = 2. You know, like if you add 5 + 5 = 10, just because we created that, like humans said, okay, if I add 1 and 1, then we're going to call that 2. And so it's just a law. That's what it is. Well, in science and in physiology, you're dealing with creation. Like, you're dealing with genetics, you're dealing with different stressors and environment. And like you said, every person is different, and how they respond to things is different. I mean, you and I, Samantha, could walk in to a Starbucks and we could both experience the exact same thing within the Starbucks, whether the people that were in there, the people behind the counter, we could get the exact same drink, and each of us could have a completely different response. Well, we would both have a completely different response because our bodies and our systems are completely different. And so that applies to essential oils even double time, but, you know, people are like, oh my gosh, they're 100% safe all the time. They are 100% safe, but, you know, if you use them incorrectly or you have something going on, of course you can have a reaction to it, just like with different fruits or anything else for that matter.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life. And it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Okay, Jim Bob, are you ready to break it down for us? Let's really look at those blog articles or where this misinformation is coming from and the studies that they have pulled in these articles and break it down for us.
There were two main blogs that I refuted. There were multiple, but you know, Cindy reined me in. She's like, no, just talk about a couple of things because you're going to go all night when I did this call back in the spring. But one blog in particular was written by a certified aromatherapist. She has a lot of blogs, but two that really came out at this particular time. One was talking about essential oils in pregnancy and how you really needed to be careful because you didn't need to use essential oils for pregnant moms. And then the other was talking about, again, the safety in children. Now, on her blog, she, and this is one of the things I teach all the time, if you're going to read a blog, for sure, anything for this matter, but especially a blog, then there's a couple of different things that you have to ask and you have to like ask questions about as you're reading it to get context of who's writing it, whether it's me or anybody else, so that you know where they're coming from, because everyone has an angle. Everyone. I don't care if they're like, oh, I'm unbiased, I'm just writing. Well, there's no way. There is no unbiased when you're writing a blog. They have some angle and there's some reason why they're writing, and they're writing for someone, no matter what. So this lady, when you look back through and I teach people to go and look at who they are, like read their bio first and really figure out where they're coming from so you can see through the lens that they're seeing through. So this certified aromatherapist that wrote about the pregnancy and kids, first off, when you look at the certified aromatherapy actual teaching that she had done through an organization here in the U.S., well, by definition, when you look at their tenets, they are taught off of it's called a British School of Aromatherapy thought. Now, and there's three different ones, and not to get too in-depth on this, but there's British, German, and French. So the British School of Aromatherapy, okay, is taught, like their teachings is that you should only do topical and you should only do aromatic, and the topical should be diluted It's like a, you know, a 20-30% dilution or whatever. Like they dilute it a lot, and that you should never put oils on directly and that you should never do oils internally. That's their belief system. Now, they also only have done all of their research, all of their teaching and all of their research is done on food grade and perfume grade essential oils, not therapeutic grade oils. Perfume and food grade, which is really important because those oils and therapeutic grade oils, like the oils you get, the essential oils from Young Living are two totally different things. So like when you're looking at that blog, she writes all these things about blah, 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 and this is all, you know, not safe. Well, when you look at it and you understand that she is writing a blog from the viewpoint of not even talking about the aromatherapy, just food grade and perfume grade oils, then as far as safety, she's completely right for her oils. Perfume grade and food grade oils are probably not safe on some levels for pregnant moms and possibly not with kids. And you need to be really careful because of the different chemicals and things that are in them because they're not 100% pure therapeutic grade oils. That's the thing. So all of her blogs writing about that, I mean, you know, as far as the safety, it doesn't hold true because you're not comparing to the same thing when you're talking about therapeutic grade oils from Young Living. It's a completely different conversation. The other blog that came out, the title of the blog was, you know, essential oils cause seizures in kids. This person is a naturopathic doctor, which, you know, the problem with that from a practitioner standpoint is she immediately gets more street credit because she's got a degree, right? So the thing that happened in the essential oil community was even in our teams and in the people that we teach and our patients, they really freaked out about this one and they stopped using essential oils on their kids just because of the title. But what they didn't do is they didn't read the whole blog. Like they actually, majority of the people that really got scared about this blog never actually read it. Like what I realized was they hadn't even read the blog. I was like, you didn't even read it. They're like, yeah, but I know what it said. And all they did was read the title and who she was on the side. And it said naturopathic doctor, essential oils cause seizures. And I'm like, well, you don't even know who she is. And so when I went down, I was like, okay, that was the one that set it off and I did the call on. And so she, you know, made a claim on there that essential oils cause seizures in kids, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, well, I went through and she cites four published articles off of PubMed, which is a website that you can go to look at peer-reviewed journals and actual published, you know, research articles on different topics. And so you can get on there and type in, you know, essential oils in kids or whatever and pull up different articles and look at. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to look at this blog and I'm going to pretend like I don't know anything. And I'm going to read these studies and I'm going to see if she really did pull up studies that validates her claim, because that's the next step. If you look at her and you go, okay, she's trustworthy. And from her background, you know, she works for a specific essential oil company that you could have looked at and that was fine, which is not Young Living. And so there's an angle on that. Plus, you know, she's an ND. So there's other angles that she has on a whole nother level. But on this thing, I was like, okay, let's assume that she's completely trustworthy, which I'm sure she is with patients. But on this blog article, I pulled up all four of the studies. And out of all four of the studies, only one of them talked about kids at all. Actually, two of them talked about kids, but only one of them actually talked about ingestion of oils and use of oils on the kids at all. One of the studies was talking about a 50-something-year-old male who had had brain surgery and had had exposure to an essential oil that they didn't name. They didn't say who the company was. They didn't even know the amount. And after exposure to this certain essential oil, a 50-something-year-old male that had a brain surgery had a seizure, who had already had a history of epilepsy. Well, yeah.
Right.
You know, I was like, okay, maybe that's fine. Maybe that's true for a 57-year-old male with brain surgery. But that's not what the article said. It said in kids.
Right.
So the second article was an adult woman who had a history of epilepsy again. And that study with her said that she ate an unknown number of cakes with fennel essential oil in them. Okay. So the studies were completely just vague. It said she had ate all these cakes with fennel essential oil. Didn't say whose it was, didn't say how much oil she used in her recipe, didn't say whether she ate 2 cakes or 20 cakes. It didn't say whether she had been been on medication, but they didn't say whether she had missed her meds, whether she had taken her meds, do you see what I'm saying? Like there's so many different variables around her experience, but what they tied it to and what this this blog tied it to was that, well, it was the essential oil.
Right.
Maybe, or maybe she watched TV too late the night before and didn't take her epileptic medication, you know, and that could have been part of it. And again, it wasn't about kids. So you could literally scratch both of those off.
Yeah.
The third one was a pair of brothers, young kids, who had, they called it breakout seizures or a breakout seizure. It was one later after it said unknown amount exposure of I think it was phenyl essential oil again. I can't remember, but it was a specific oil that they literally had, like, these two kids were not being supervised and they didn't know how much of the oil they had used. They didn't know how much they'd ingested. They didn't know how much. And it was like, it just said unknown amount of said essential oil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, not knowing the company, didn't know the amount, wasn't being supervised, which we teach our patients and our team members all the time with kids, just like you do. If you're going to start an essential oil with a child, it's a specific amount, very small amount, diluted, started on the feet or just diffusing, you know,
yeah.
You're doing a specific thing to allow their body to adapt. Well, these kids were playing with it.
Right.
And one of them had a seizure later, which actually afterwards, when you get the full article, it said that he had a history of febrile seizures anyway. And so, well, then you can scratch that one out. The fourth one was the only one. It had an infant that had a breakout seizure after exposure to essential oils. Didn't talk about the company, didn't talk about the amounts. But what it said in there was that, A, she had febrile seizures herself, the baby, and B, the mom, due to her fevers, the mom was giving her multiple baths, like an unknown number of baths. She was putting her in baths with essential oils.
Oh, gosh.
Which, exactly, we know if you're doing a Epsom salt bath, which we don't know if she did the Epsom salts correctly. We don't know how much of the essential oils she put in there. There wasn't an amount. And multiple baths on an infant, if she was even using the essential oils correctly, it's going to drive it into her body faster,
mm-hmm.
which if she already has a predisposition to febrile seizures, it's almost basically like mini epilepsy. Well, yeah, then that little baby had a seizure after. But was it the oil? Was it the fever? And they don't know.
Yeah. Or was it the bath? I mean, that constant temperature changing up and down.
Exactly. Putting her in, taking her out, putting her in, taking her out. I mean, there's so many things, because with any kind of seizure activity, I mean, just the flashing of a TV in their peripheral vision can create a seizure if they are in that mode, in their body is, you know, in that predicament kind of thing. So at that point right there, if you can literally scratch out even two out of the four, but especially every one of her studies was invalid. It didn't even substantiate the point that she was trying to make on the blog. Then at that point, I'm like, you don't even have to read the rest of the blog, but you sure shouldn't share it. You know, that's the problem. Everybody goes, oh my gosh, the title. And they're like, share, 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 share.
Yeah.
And everybody's clicking it on Facebook, which drives her readership through the roof, which is, you know, she's a blogger. So that's what you want. You want clicks, which is why you use a explosive title like that. And then if they had actually read further in, she actually had later on came back, redid the article and apologized for the title and said that she was actually for using essential oils and she used them in her office. It just wasn't Young Living. And she had to kind of like backtrack because she got such a backlash on
mm-hmm.
it. So it's just like calming down and reading through everything. And that's where, you know, the call came in, because I just realized that most people weren't trained on how to read research or how to actually tear a blog apart to really figure out whether or not it was something to hang your hat on or not.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and so many of us are so busy that sometimes that's the only way we consume our news is just reading titles, and we just
status updates
and titles, and, you know, Instagram, they're not even articles anymore. It's just, you know, one liners, and that's how we get our news.
Yep.
And especially for something like our children. I mean, no one wants to be irresponsible with our children. And, you know, sometimes I have to really defend my position of, yes, I do use essential oils on my children and on my newborn. I do it safely. I follow safe protocols. But sometimes people look at me like they're going to call, you know, social services or something, because good gosh, lady, they're so strong. You can't do that.
And how dare you do that?
I know.
Yeah, it's very true.
It is. It's very true. And it's just sad, because so many people see that anything negative and they just instantly shut down and they just won't even go there anymore. When these oils, there's so much potential for these oils to do so much good for us and for our children. So absolutely. Thank you for breaking those down for us. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Dr. Jim Bub, I think it's really fascinating to look at the three different types of aromatherapy and how that really influences people's perspectives and the way that they use and see essential oils. Can you expound on that?
Sure. You know, like we mentioned a little bit earlier, there's three different schools of thought that have been around for the life of essential oils, basically, that people adhere to. So there's British school of thought, and, you know, different proponents of the British school of thought are like Robert Tisserand. He's written a few books, and it's from the British mindset, like their whole school. Clinical aromatherapy is based on the British school of thought. You know, certified aromatherapists, like all of that realm. Medical aromatherapy is all British school of thought. Okay, so there's French school of thought, Young Living Essential Oils, Gary Young and his team, they're under the French school of thought and the French school of teaching of aromatherapy. And then there's the German school of aromatherapy. Now, the most popular of the two that are the most widespread are British and French. And the difference in the three is the British school of thought, like we had mentioned, they only recommend topical and aromatic use of essential oils. They do not recommend or teach internal use of essential oils ever. Now, topically, if they're using topical oils, they recommend major dilution, and their dilution ratios are a lot higher. They do not recommend, only on certain circumstances, and literally only if you're seeing a clinical aromatherapist, really, they don't recommend straight essential oils on the skin. Why do they do that? Well, again, you got to go back to the type of essential oils that they're actually utilizing for that school of thought. So the British school of thought was originated years and years after the French. French was first. And the British school of thought was actually originated by a person who was doing them for aesthetics. Like, they're actually doing them for makeup and perfumes in Britain. Okay. So this female that started this whole school of thought was never using therapeutic grade essential oils in any of her research or in any of her studies ever. It was always perfume grade and food grade essential oils, because that was the point. She was creating perfumes and different, you know, lotions and stuff like that out of essential oils, and that's where that came out of. So the idea of not doing them internally and not using them topically was really off of a lot of the research, again, that like Robert Tisserand and other professionals like him had done on the safety or the lack thereof of those essential oils, which in a food grade and perfume grade essential oil, they are not 100% essential oils in the bottle. So, like, for example, if you're going to take frankincense and you use frankincense essential oil that is not therapeutic grade, then even if it says frankincense on the bottle, the chances of it being 100% frankincense are pretty much zero.
Right.
Because they use fillers and chemicals and other things in order to spread the oil out for production purposes and things like that to make sure.
I've even seen, you know, quote unquote, therapeutic pure frankincense oil on Amazon for sale for like $15. And, you know, unfortunately, there's just
Which is impossible.
It's absolutely impossible. So, you know, unfortunately, there's not a lot of regulation as far as what companies can slap on their labels. And so, you know, the uneducated user, they say, oh, okay, well, I'll just go on Amazon, find some therapeutic grade frankincense, and then, you know, end up getting something that is completely either diluted down, filled with chemicals, and it's just not the same thing.
It's true. It's not the same thing. And so one of the questions that will come up, you know, as soon as you even say that, is people go, well, then how do you trust that Young Living's is therapeutic grade? Well, the one comment that Dr. David Stewart uses in his book, which I highly recommend, he's a PhD biochemist that has written several books. One of his books is called The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple, which I think is hilarious because it's like 4 inches thick and it's amazing. But that book, I've read it several times because he is very scientifically driven and gets into the biochemistry of the oils. And he has a whole chapter on the different schools of thought of essential oils, and it's really good. But one comment that he makes in there and one quote that he says in there is, he says, adhering to a certain viewpoint or adhering to a certain actual study of science is actually a choice on faith because you're actually choosing to trust the person that did the studies or choosing to trust the person that's actually doing the work more than the actual product itself. And he said that's across the board in science. So you have to literally go back and look at the track record of the company. You got to go back and look at what is their quality control process, what is their, you know, testing procedures that are done on the oils, and do they have control over what's being produced? And, you know, when you, just talking about Young Living, because that's who we use and who we work with, you know, Young Living has a seed to sale promise, and what that whole process is in and of itself, even if we didn't do anything else, just the seed to sale promise means that they have their hand on and their finger on and control of what happens to that oil from the time the seed goes in the ground to the time the oil goes on your skin or in your diffuser or whatever. And when you look at the production and the integrity of the company, and this is important, when you look at how much of the oils that Young Living actually produces that actually make it to the bottle, it's only like 20%. It's like between 20 and 30% of all of the essential oil that they actually produce ever actually makes it in a bottle. Because when they're doing their testing, if it's not 100%, 100% frankincense or 100%, you know, peppermint, then they don't bottle it and they don't produce it. And it goes back in as fertilizer and other things into the crops. And so the other factor of that is when you say, okay, well, does this company have control over the crops? Do they have a hand in that? Or where are they getting the essential oils from? Honestly, where are they getting the plants from? Mm-hmm. And Young Living is the only company in the world who owns their own farms. And at least to my knowledge, at the amount that we do. And so, you know, Young Living has a lot of our own farms, and then we partner with other farms and actually do the farming with them and train them and teach them how to do the farming, how to actually fortify the soil, how to do the distillation, so that it's up to the standards of what Young Living has set. Plus, there's a whole third-party testing that's done even outside of that to ensure that, again, nothing's being missed and that the quality of the oils is at the standard that Gary Young and Young Living have set before they actually put that oil in the bottle. So that, I mean, that right there is a huge factor, and especially for us as practitioners. You know, one thing I laugh about all the time, you know, when we're talking about this, Samantha, is they'll say, a lot of other companies approach me and they'll go, yeah, but our frankincense is purer than that, blah, 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 blah. And we never run out of stock. Well, we never run out of stock of a frankincense essential oil, just using it as an example. And so our company is better because we never run out of stock. And my argument is always, really? When you tell me that, that tells me that your company is not as good. And it's actually less than Young Living because you don't run out of stock. Because there's no way, if you look at the math on the amount of families and new people who are using essential oils on a daily basis, for that matter. But if you look at just monthly, the amount of people using essential oils and the growth in the last 2 to 3 years, it is mathematically and scientifically impossible, especially for companies that don't even own their own farms, to never run out of an essential oil that is rare.
Yeah, it's a huge red flag.
Oh my gosh, when they say, we never run out, we're amazing. I go, well, then there is something shady with that, because it's just an impossibility.
Yeah.
And so just with the amount that's being used. So, and that's what really goes back to the purity of it and the therapeutic versus perfume and food grade. So, and that's the difference in British versus French school of thought. French school of thought is looking at therapeutic grade. Like when we're talking, okay, there are certain essential oils that are dietary, like peppermint or like, you know, lemon, and the citrus oils are in a dietary category that can be used internally. Well, there's guidelines for that, and there's ways to do it. And there's, you know, teachings that Gary Young and the other scientists and the other leaders in that field for, you know, all of these years in aromatherapy have established based on therapeutic grade essential oils, not perfume grade and not food grade. So French school recommends all three. French school of thought recommends internal use appropriately. It recommends topical use, either neat, which is direct oil on the skin, or diluted. They recommend both. And they recommend, you know, diffusing and aromatic. So they go to all three. When you look at, you know, German school of thought, and there really is not a lot of big names, let's say, that adhere to German school of thought. It's kind of the third one over there, but it is there. German school of thought is basically aromatic only. Like they really don't teach much other use other than aromatic. Okay, so the two main are British and French that kind of go back and forth, but even if you look back historically and you look at how they started, the French school of thought and school of aromatherapy was started by a practitioner, by a doctor back in, I think it was World War I, and was using them for on the soldiers and started formulating and studying essential oils on healing, you know, on the soldiers and everything. I think it was in World War I. And then you compare what he was using them for, and he created his premise of essential oil therapy for health and healing, not for, you know, lotions and potions and perfumes and anything like that. It was all for health and healing, and so that everyone could use it. His whole premise, and you can look at the history of it, was that everyone should be able to use it mm-hmm. because it was for everyone. But the British school of thought is very different, because the person who started the British school of aromatherapy was not a practitioner, was not a doctor, and had taken tenets from the French and said, you know what, I want to create a whole line of makeup, perfumes, and topical. And it was not using therapeutic grade. And their school of thought is more on regulation of, you know, you should only be able to get essential oils from clinical, you know, aromatherapists and certified aromatherapists, and it should be more regulated. And so that really does break it down a little bit more on background and motivation.
Well, yeah. And I think if you look at, you know, today's society, I think we're kind of conditioned to fall into that as well. Like, we almost don't feel comfortable not going to the quote unquote expert or going to the practitioner, you know, and that's sort of how the name of this show came about, the Essential Oil Revolution, because I just really love that aspect of the French school of thought, is that these oils are for the people.
Right.
Like they are for you. Like, empower yourself, like, and, you know, learn what you need to learn, and then, you know, take charge of your own health. You know, don't let so-and-so tell you what to do or what not to do. Like, trust yourself, trust your instincts, get educated, and, you know, create your own health revolution.
And that's really it. And people really just don't trust themselves, though.
It's true.
And I think that society and the media and the medical profession has created this lie that you can't trust yourself because you don't know enough. And, you know, the natural healthcare realm and in my whole industry, we've done a horrible job at educating people that they can. And that's kind of Cindy and I, our whole passion is in teaching people, look, you can do this and your body's made perfectly. And you do know enough because you are your own scientist. Like, you know, when you talk about the people that are uncomfortable with, you know, really knowing what to do, every patient that comes into me because we use essential oils and they're coming into me for help with essential oils and with their therapy, literally, majority of the time, they're spot on with their protocol. They just need me to say, hey, you're doing a good job. You're fine. I mean, it really is a thing of them just needing the affirmation and needing the confirmation and it's not even a pat on the back. They need the assurance. That's what it is, that they're on the right track. And I'm like, no, you're doing fine. You just keep doing it and do it more often. And so, and they get the changes. They just don't trust themselves. And so that's when I teach, you know, look, like, you're your own scientist. Every mom in their home, every wife is the scientist of that home, because you're doing scientific studies and testing theories every day. You know, something happens at your house and you go, oh, well, I think I may use this essential oil. And then you do this study and then you say, oh, well, what happened? And you get your results and you go, oh, that worked, or oh, that didn't. And if it didn't, you don't use it again.
Jim Bob, I want to thank you so, so much for coming on the show. This has been just absolutely amazing.
Absolutely.
I just want to go into the final part of our show, where we like to ask for some practical advice that our listeners can use to start living healthier lives today. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
All right. So, do you have a daily health routine that you attribute to your overall wellness?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my daily health routine consists of a couple of things. One, as far as the things that I take myself, is, and I teach patients on Core 4. And then I add one in, because it's extra amazing. So every day I make sure that I'm getting the Core 4 needs that everybody should have: fish oil, vitamin D, probiotics, and a greens product, whether that's multi-greens or pro-alpha greens is a greens product that I use a lot and I like. So that's part of my regimen. But I add in Ningxia Red, because I use Ningxia Red every single day because it's such a power-packed nutrient, you know, at that. So that's one. The other is, you know, I would say, you know, 5 days a week at least, and we have to work our schedule a lot because we're crazy busy, I set aside time for I call it intentional movement. Some days I may not do a hardcore workout, but I'm doing something at least 5 days a week for even a half hour, even 20 minutes, to be able to help the body heal. That's huge. And then beyond that, because that's the nutritional and the physical, the third part of that is the emotional and mental. So every single day I take time. And again, it may only be in the drive into work, or it may be for 15 minutes before bed with Cindy, just sitting down and talking, or I may have time to take a lot longer on this, but every single day I take time either to journal for a little bit of time, or at least to get somewhere and get still to where I can let my brain reset and emotionally reset emotional stress and reset, you know, just mental pathways to where I can get a lot of clarity. And that's, you know, trying to get all three of those in, even again, if they're like 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I mean, I think people really try to make them more complicated than they are, because health really isn't that complicated. It is really simple, you know, less bad, more good, move around, drink some water. I mean, it really is, you know, that simple, but people try to make it into this huge ordeal. And so just trying to simplify it and really make it work for our schedule. And that's kind of what I did.
Love it. Love it. All right. Now this next question's a tricky one. What's one simple thing that we can all replace in our homes that won't break the bank, but would make us all feel healthier or happier?
One thing. Now, are we assuming that people are already using essential oils, or is this someone who's like fresh off the I'm not healthy wagon and they're ready to change something?
It could be either or, but it doesn't have to relate to essential oils. But, you know, for example, like a cleaning product, or like get rid of your margarine for butter or something simple.
Yep. Okay. So I'll take the first one of the person who's coming in off the street, let's say, and didn't even know that there was a thing as organic milk, and they have no concept of natural healthy living at all. The thing that I would say is the first thing that they could literally take out and switch for something else that wouldn't break the bank, it would literally add years to their life, is getting rid of artificial sweeteners, for sure.
Yeah.
And that would go for everyone. But normally, if they're already in a Young Living lifestyle and they've studied, they're at least aware of this. Whether they're choosing to do it or not is another thing.
Yeah.
But for someone who's brand new, they are for sure, if you're not paying attention to this, you are for sure getting aspartame or dyes or artificial sweeteners like Splenda and MSG and things like that in your food and in your drinks, that, or in your chewing gum is a huge one. And that is a huge neurotoxin, and it damages the brain cells quickly. And it creates issues where you're not going to be healthy for long. So that would be my one for them. For, let's say, the extreme, you know, healthy person on the other side, you know,
the health nut.
Yeah. Let's say the health nut, you know, one thing that they could take out or switch that would be, you know, a huge benefit to them that wouldn't really break the bank, I would say the TV.
Yeah.
I've gotten more done and been a better husband, father, you know, doctor, teacher, everything, since really shutting my TV off. And really, I mean, I've only really watched maybe an hour all told of actual like television, let's say, at all, because one, I just don't have time. So that's nice. I just don't have time to do it. And so it doesn't even give me the option, which is nice. But just consciously going, you know what, I'm not going to get on for something that's not benefiting my family or benefiting patients and the people that I'm helping, because what's the point, has been revolutionary for us. So, you know, if you're already doing that,
that's a good one. I needed to hear that one. Yeah, I think I struggle with that one the most. I can become a little TV junkie for sure. So yeah, it's so easy.
Yeah, it's so easy, and it's designed to be that way. Like, television is designed to be addictive because of the way that they've created it to fire different neurological pathways in your brain, so that you can't stop watching it after you start. It really is a thing. It's a creational, you know, hazard. And so that's
like
why you sit there.
Virtual crack. Yeah.
It is literally that. And so you sit down, and then you set up, when you get up, you look around and it's been 4 hours and you didn't have any idea. And you've just been watching Netflix for like, you know, half a day kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be a big deal, is really giving yourself your time back so you can get more stuff done. Love on your family.
That's all for today. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Samantha Lee Wright, your host, and I'm so happy to bring you new and insightful essential oil content every Tuesday. You can follow me on Instagram at Sam Lee Wright. That's SamLeeWright. You can use the hashtag Essential Oil Revolution Podcast to say hello. And you can also follow the podcast on Facebook at Essential Oil Revolution Podcast. Make sure you are subscribed to the show so you can get new episodes downloaded while you sleep. This show is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and more. And you can also tell Alexa, "Hey Alexa, play the Essential Oil Revolution podcast," and she'll do it. How cool is that? Our website is revolutionoilspodcast.com, and all the links mentioned in today's episode should be right below wherever you are hearing this. Just scroll down to find episode notes. We also have a list of frequently asked questions on there, such as what oil brand do I recommend and why, are oils safe to take internally, info on cats and oils, and more. I can't thank you enough for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of the revolution. We'll catch you here next week. In the meantime, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.